In the winter of 1987, the sportswear company Nike was facing a crisis. Is it Nike or Nike? I never know. We'll go with Nike. For the first time in its history, its sales had been dropping. It had been forced to lay off 20% of its workforce. And the most recent advertising campaign had been something of a flop. Their marketing division had to do a total rethink. What dawned on them was that up until that point, all of their advertising had been focusing on the way their products were being used by the high-end elite athletes. They'd been hoping that their products would sell if the public could see that these products were the products of choice of the very best. But as a result of this, the brand was only speaking to a narrow range of mainly male athletes performing at the top of their sports in public stadiums and arenas. What they realized was that there was a much bigger marketplace out there of people who simply wanted to be a little fitter than they were already. And out of this was born the Nike advertising campaign that was based on the slogan, "Just Do It." We're going to watch the first of the adverts in that advertising campaign. It was shown in America. I don't know if this one was shown here.
I run 17 miles every morning. People ask me how I keep my teeth from chattering in the wintertime. I leave them in my locker.
So the slogan was, "Just Do It." And after the launch of the Just Do It advertising campaign, Nike sales were rejuvenated, increasing by 1,000% over the next 10 years. The campaign worked because this was no longer the brand of the elite, but the brand of everyone and anyone. It was about just do it. And anybody could do it, get involved in a bit of running, a bit of sport, and so wear the Nike brand. But it also worked because the slogan, "Just Do It," spoke powerfully to the human tendency to procrastinate when it comes to fitness. You know, we always mean to do something about our fitness, but we never quite get around to it. We know the waistline is expanding, we know we aren't as active as we once were, but there is always tomorrow. Just do it kind of speaks into this. Now, before you start to think otherwise, I haven't entered into a sponsorship deal with Nike to do a bit of product placement in my sermons, although it might be a good fundraising scheme for the church. It's just that this slogan, "Just do it," seems to fit well with the themes of our readings this morning, and particularly this reading from Luke. But let's begin with the prophet Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk begins with the prophet asking some searching questions of God. "How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" Habakkuk sees all sorts of things wrong in the society around him. Violence, injustice, oppression, people turning away from God. And God just doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. I think some people feel a bit like that with our world today. It's as if Habakkuk is saying to God, "Just do something, just do it, do your thing, God, and make a difference." And the whole of chapter 1 goes on in that kind of vein. But then in chapter 2 is the beginning of God's reply. We heard the first four verses of that chapter, which ended with the words, "But the righteous will live by his faith." And God's reply is to say that he does see, he has heard, He knows exactly what's going on in the world. There will be a reckoning for this world turning away from his ways of justice and peace. But in the meantime, there is a very simple encouragement to those who want to stay true to him. Just do it. Trust my ways of love and justice and truth. Continue to live out your faith in me. Just do it. And Habakkuk stood and spoke in the way in which all of the prophets did. They simply called the people of Israel back to taking God seriously, to taking God at his word. Just get on and do it, was their message. Trust God. Care for your neighbor. Look out for the poor and the outcast. Just do it. And so on to our gospel reading from Luke chapter 17. It begins with the apostles, the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, asking for an increase of faith. Increase our faith, they ask Jesus. Now, fascinating to ask what gave rise to this question. We don't actually know, because it seems to come a bit out of the blue. But in its context in Luke's gospel, it comes immediately after Jesus had been encouraging his disciples to be extravagant in their willingness to forgive others. He said, if someone sins against you seven times in a day and repents, then you should keep on forgiving them. And then prior to that, in chapter 16, Jesus had been largely talking about the challenges of wealth, about not able to serve God and mammon. And perhaps the disciples had been asking themselves, well, are we up to this? Surely all of this is beyond us. We need more faith if we're going to put this into practice and do what Jesus says. Now, another option, of course, is that they were simply trying to change the subject. Jesus had been kind of getting a bit too near the bone, talking about money and wealth, and then talking about relationships where they had to forgive people, kind of the everyday practical things. They wanted to get something a bit higher, a bit more about kind of being spiritual. And so they wanted to take Jesus onto what they thought was safer ground. Increase our faith, Lord, because that sounded like a very spiritual thing to do. Whichever it is, it's fascinating the way in which Jesus answers their request, because he doesn't actually respond to their request directly, as Jesus usually didn't. They wanted to have stronger faith, deeper faith, but Jesus doesn't quite tell them how they are to acquire that. What he talks about is this amazing picture of only needing faith the size of a mustard seed, a tiny seed, and you'd be able to uproot a mulberry tree and plant it in the sea with a simple word of command, says Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't talking literally here. He's not saying that people should be going around doing these things out of their faith. He's giving a picture, taking the very smallest thing that people were familiar with, the tiny mustard seed, then taking a large and stable mulberry tree that would be had deep roots, firm roots, that nothing would be able to, one of the trees that wouldn't be blown down in the wind, saying this could be moved. And even if you wanted to plant it in the sea, you'd be able to do this with a word of faith. This is a kind of extravagant picture that Jesus is using. What he's saying to these disciples, you're asking me for more faith. An increase of faith, greater faith. But he's saying to them, don't concentrate on what you don't have. Take hold of what you do have. And so often we concentrate on what we don't have, on what we haven't yet got, on what we think other people have that we haven't got. And we long after that, and we somehow miss what we have already. And Jesus is saying to these disciples, look, don't hanker after these other things that you haven't got yet, but do take note of that little mustard seed bit of faith that you do have. And begin to work on that. And begin to live on the basis of that bit of faith that you do have. And get on with your life and just do it. And so often in our Christian faith, we are putting off being the people of God because we think we need somehow to progress further down the road. We need to learn more of Scripture. We need to have deeper faith. We need to somehow be better disciples. And often in doing that, we're measuring ourselves against the illusion of what we see in other people. We see other people who seem to have more faith, stronger faith, more informed faith than we have, and we would really like to be like them, and so we're not quite ready yet, so we kind of hang back and don't get on and live our lives as Christ has called, because we're trying to do something else all the time, because we think it's all about having more faith, more of this stuff. And Jesus takes us back not to focus on what we don't have, where we're not at yet, where we haven't grown into yet. He's asking us to take hold of what we do have. And even if that faith is small as a mustard seed, then he says, you can live the way I'm calling you to live, in this remarkable way that brings forgiveness, grace, new life, resurrection into the world. You live by that tiny bit of faith that you have got. Just do it. Get on and do it. And he follows it up with that story of the servant. I think what Jesus is wanting to do here is to focus on the attitude of the servant to the master and not the attitude of the master to the servant. Because the attitude of the master to the servant is not the kind of attitude that Jesus suggests that God has towards us. But he is saying that always in our relationship with God, we should come initially with the attitude of the servant who always wants to serve God as our master. We should just do it. If Jesus called us to love our enemies, then just do it. If Jesus calls us to serve God and not wealth, then just do it. If Jesus calls us to show forgiveness to people, however many times they keep on messing up and coming and asking for forgiveness from us, keep on forgiving them, says Jesus. Just do it. Throughout Luke's gospel, there are a few people that Jesus commends for their faith. But these aren't the people who are kind of the professional religious, the people who you would think of as being highly skilled in their faith and highly experienced in their faith. The people that Jesus picks upon and commends for their faith are, well, one example are the companions of the paralyzed man who brought him to Jesus and in order to get him in front of Jesus, went up on a roof, dug a hole through the roof and lowered the man before Jesus. And Jesus said, look at their faith. Now, I suspect that these people were very mixed up in what they thought they were doing. They just thought, here's a chance of this man having some opportunity to get healed. We've got to do what we can. I suspect all of their motives were very mixed. They were unsure about what they were doing. They were ordinary people who just did what they could and brought this man to Jesus. And he was healed, and Jesus commended their faith. Another example was the woman who had been suffering from bleeding for many years, had all sorts of attempts to find healing and could never find any help. And as Jesus was going by, she touched the hem of his garment. She didn't even have the courage to speak to Jesus, to confront Jesus. She just did what she could and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus commended her faith. Here was faith, small as a mustard seed, probably extraordinary mixed, but she just did it. And that's what we're called to do. Just do it. And to be the servants that Jesus asks us to be in terms of our relationship with God. Just trust God about what he says about how we should be living, how we should be trusting him, how we should be serving him. Just do it. And the remarkable thing is that when we come to God ready to be servants, he then treats us as family. That's the story of the prodigal son. The son who returns to the father and says, I'm not worthy to be a servant. I'm not worthy to be your son. Treat me as a hired servant. And the father turns round and welcomes him back as a son. The attitude that we bring to God is one of being ready to serve, and he responds to us by treating us as sons and daughters and welcoming us into his presence. So just do it. Just do it. Whatever your faith.